Good stuff. All right, we're in Gemara Sanhedrin, Mem Beis Amud Beis 42b at the top of the page. We are starting the sixth perek, which is called Nigmar Hadin, which means when the judgment has been finalized. The last perek we're discussing, how do you come to that final judgment? So now that we've come to the final judgment, exactly what happens on the day of execution? How do we go about and bring him towards his execution? And what things we do to ensure that in case, even in the last minute, we could find something in his favor, we still try to save him. Even though we've decided he's guilty and should be punished, we still leave an opening that if there's a last minute way to save him, we will do it. And that's what this mishnah is going to discuss. Nigmar Hadin, once the verdict has been reached and the defendant is pronounced guilty. So now, what do? They don't give him a last meal. They don't let him sit on death row for 7 years. That's it, man. You're done. So, Motzian Oso Lasoklo. He's immediately taken out to stone him. Now, the commentaries add, although the Mishnah says stoning, it would apply to any other one of the four deaths as well. The reason it picked stoning, because it's the most severe of all the punishments. Or we could say also, stoning is the first method the Torah mentions for execution in the Torah. Okay, now we're going to see in further Prakim exactly how we go and do the other death penalties as well. So it's just, you know, don't get hung up on the fact it said stoning. It's really the same basic idea for all four things. Now, first point, where was the place where they stoned him? Okay, in the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, like, listen, a court of 23 was not in the Beis HaMikdash anyway. Court of 23 was in any city, was in Chevron, Chves, whatever city was in. So what did they do? So they said, Beis HaSkila, the house of stoning, was Hoyachutz Lebesdin, was outside the courthouse. There was a specific place that was designated for this, and you'll see it was situated a distance from the courthouse. We'll see, not gonna know exactly the distance, but not next door. You don't have the courthouse here, and right next door is the execution place. That's not. And why? And how do we know that it's not next door? There's a biblical source for that. Remember the story of the Makalel, the fellow who cursed out, and he was supposed to be punished with stoning. So what is the, good. So what does the Torah say? Shenemar hotzei es ha-makalel. It says take out the person who was cursing. So therefore it can't be done within the courthouse. It has to be at some distance. Okay, doesn't say exactly how far the distance is, but at some distance. We'll see from the description of the next few lines of what happens. Obviously there's gonna be a limit as to this distance. Now, the next few lines are going to explain how, if while we're walking him out, that somebody comes up with a reason to want to save him still. Oh, I just thought of a reason. So therefore, we have like this. Echad oimed al Pesach bezdin v'hasudorim biyado. Okay, so while they're escorting the guy out, there's one guy who stands at the courthouse, and he has flags in his hand. Sudorim, flags are in his hand. And they're going to be for signaling, a la Paul Revere, as you'll see in a minute. Okay, we'll see. Just wait. We need a little more to explain. There's nothing to, we have no understanding until we do the next two lines. Vesus rachok mimenu kidei sheyehero. And another one sits on a horse at a distance from him, but within his sight. And that's the fellow who's going along with the people that are executing him. Let's take a look at the commentary. A man sits astride a horse as far as possible from the one with the flags. So if the flags are waved to signal the case has been reopened, he'll have the best possible chance to reach the prisoner in time to prevent his execution. Obviously, he must remain within sight of the flag man so that he will see him if he signals. That's right, exactly. So we've got one guy right at the courthouse with flags. So if in the court they're gonna say, oh, we thought of something, the guy starts waving the flag. Now, there's gotta be a guy, I don't know how far the distance is, but the distance, at a distance, person on a horse can A, see the flag. That's going to be quite a distance. I mean, hundreds of yards. I don't think a mile. A mile might be out of sight, I think. But I don't know. But it can't be 5 miles. Like, there's a point where you can't see anymore, right? So, and then also the horse, man on the horse, has time to reach the people who are going to execute him in time. So go figure some algorithms to figure exactly how far you go, right? So that's the point. So now, let's just finish the Mishnah. Omer Echad, so back at the court, if one of the judges says, Yesh l'amid eschus, I think there's a reason for acquittal, okay? Or even not a judge, but there's some new evidence or whatever. Whatever they think, you know, I just thought of something. So what happens? The guy with the flags, Hello, Menif Bisudorim, the guy waves the flags, Vahasus Rots Umamido, and the horse with its rider races to the party that's executing the fellow, and they stop them. Okay. It's interesting. The Machlokas, if you look at the bottom here, the Rambam says that the suspect is returned to court at that point where the case is then reconsidered. Rashi, in our commentary here, says no, the suspect stays where he is while the court deliberates. So Machlokas, if we bring the guy back or not, it really is irrelevant in terms of the discussion of if he should be acquitted or not. Okay. Now, but wait a minute, this is if one of the judges, or anyone for that matter, walks into court relating to this case and says, we have a reason for acquittal. Vafilu hu omer, and even if the criminal himself, the accused, he says, as they're bringing him out to the gallows, yesh l'lamed l'asmischus, I have grounds for my acquittal. I thought of something that came up. Then, machzir noso, they return him to the courthouse to hear his arguments. And guess how many times they'll do this? Afilu arba v'chamesh pamim. And he could be returned even 4 or 5 times. Okay, in other words, let's say they're ready to stone him. He says, I just thought of something. A real good reason why I shouldn't be acquitted. Okay, they'll take him back. Now they're going to say, you know what? Let's say, no, it's not a good reason. Go back. Okay? And then they're going to do, oh, I thought of another thing. All right? It can even go 4 or 5 times. However, important line coming up. After the first time, but there's got to be some substance to his words. In other words, there's going to be somebody there by the stoning station. Says, yeah, let's hear. Let's just hear. You know, no, he says he'll bring an idea. He'll present it to the judges. And the judges will examine it. It's like evidence.
So they don't bring him back until that person brings the information back to them?
No, I guess they'd have to bring him because he'd have to say it. So if he says, I have new evidence to present, then they're going to have to bring him. He has to present it. We'll see.
So
but
just substance? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Well, they'll have to obviously be a rabbi who's there by the stoning section. I think you could hear if it's a narishkeit, you know, it was a cloudy day. Wait, and the guy could be trying just to live a few more minutes. So he says, I have something. Well, what? Nothing. You know, whatever. So there'll be somebody there who goes, okay, what do you got to say? You know, and they're going to hear if Zep is something that makes sense to bring back or not. So there's got to be some substance to his words. This machlokas, if this applies the first time even or only after the first time. But therefore, you do see clearly that we do allow even to the last minute for evidence to be brought, or reason rather, and it's if a judge, anybody else, or even the person himself who's being judged, as long as he has something of merit, then they will bring him back to discuss it. What's the problem?
Well, if the execution site is within sight of the courthouse, but it's not at the courthouse, why don't you just have the guy at the execution site be able to see the flag? Because
they probably want to get it as far away as possible. Number one, there's probably people living in the city. Do you consider that? Like, it is a city. I mean, let's try to think of a typical situation. Even in Toronto, I mean, it's not exactly the same. Okay, where is the courthouse? I don't know. Oh, there's a courthouse at Finch and Dufferin, I know. Okay, let's say the one at Finch.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, Finch and or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Now, if they don't do capital punishment, but what if they did? It would probably be in a jail. Man, in the states where they give the lethal injections, it's in a jail. It's not in the courthouse. I mean, so it's not like, you know, you have the courthouse and you got like people like you're not going to stone people in Moshe's backyard. You know, it's like I'd rather not have it in my backyard. So you have to go probably to a deserted area. All right. So deserted area is going to be outside the habitation. The courts are not outside the habitation. They're going to probably be in the main square, whatever. So therefore, it gets to a point, I guess, from a pragmatic point of view, you know, it can only go so far. So you want that, I imagine the stoning place will be where there's nobody living. It's reasonable to assume that, right? So that's far away. So now you got to have a guy with a horse. So again, obviously the topography is going to play a role in how you do this. They're just trying to say, you know, I guess it can get to a point where the guy on the horse can't see them anymore, where they're going to stone the guy. Could be it's a big city and he only can go so far. And then at that point, he can't see them anymore. So I would imagine it is probably a lot based on logistics. You know, because remember, you got to have a court of 23. You have to have 23 scholars, not just 23 schleppers. So that means you have to have quite a few people living in that city. So, and they're living probably close to each other, right?
You said at the beginning how many population you needed to have.
Yeah, but I'm just saying it's going to be at quite a distance, and it's not likely that it gets to a point, maybe, sometimes, it depends, if it's a smaller place, maybe, you know, the guy from courthouse to the horse to the execution place is all in one sighting. And it could be there's one that the flat place is so far away, the guy doesn't see them anymore. He might as well just go back, and there doesn't point to discuss it anymore.
One more thing. When we did this in the Rambam, we talked about executions a long time ago.
You have a better memory than me. Go ahead.
Didn't we say that the mother could come and plead for her son, and then they would stop the execution or something like that?
I don't recall.
Something like that?
I don't recall. Well, anybody could. Anybody, you have to have a reason. Guys, just what's your evidence? Let's hear what the evidence is. Okay, anyway, if you want, we could look up the Rambam later. Okay, next. Now we're to the Gemara. Starting the Gemara now. So the Gemara says that Ubeis Haskila, Gemara's going to ask a question now. Was it required that the stoning place is just outside of the courthouse and not any further away? Let's go back to the words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Motziyun also l'skila, beis haskila hayachutz l'beis haskila, was outside the courthouse. So what does outside the courthouse mean? Well, it's some distance from the courthouse, but does it necessarily mean it's outside of the community? Which would seem to imply from the statement of the Mishnah, what was the emphasis on? It's outside the courthouse. Did it say outside the city? No. So I guess the only thing that the Mishnah is telling us, it has to be outside the courthouse, which would imply, technically, it could be within the city. Right? Didn't say anything why it can't be a city. I was just mentioning, I don't know if somebody wants it around there, but from the words of the Mishnah, Mercy says it's got to be outside the courthouse. Mashma, it could be within the city limits. That's the only point the Gemara is asking. If you're going to say that, in other words, so Ubeis Haskila Chusavezin is the place of execution. Is it only outside the courthouse, Hava Vesulo, and not more than that? Not outside the entire city? Because now we're going to have a question. For Tanya, we learned in a Brisa of the following. This already makes it clear. The house of stoning is outside of the three camps. It was completely outside the city. So why did the Mishnah say that it was outside the courthouse? It should have said it's outside the city. Right? Now, for example, when we traveled in the desert, right, you had the Mishkan in the center, the Levim around that, and from outside were the tribes, outside of Mach Yisrael. Etc., 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 etc. There are three different camps. Later in temple times, Jerusalem and walled cities were accorded the same degree of holiness as the camp of Israel. So let's say, for example, Yerushalayim. So what is the regular part of Yerushalayim, that's until the wall, was Machane Yisrael. It'll go outside the wall to go to Machane Yisrael, out of the third camp. Any walled cities were like that. You see over there, the Temple Mount up to the main temple courtyard was deemed to correspond to the camp of Levim, and the area from the Ezra's Yisrael and inward was considered the Shechina, etc. So in other words, it's got to be outside the city. We know for sure it's got to be outside the city. It's a brisa. Brisa says it's got to be outside the city. So why are you saying outside the court? Just say outside the city. That's for sure well outside the court. When the Mishnah says outside the court, it would imply that it could still be in the city. But the brisa says it has to be outside the city. So why are you saying only outside the court? So Gemara acknowledges and agrees, not just saying what it means to say. It says, in, yes, Kinarman, as you have said, and you're absolutely correct, stoning takes place outside the city. So now why did the Mishnah have to say it's outside the court? Out for a specific scenario. That which it says in this Mishnah here, that the execution is outside of the courthouse, tells us another true idea, not arguing on the brisa. Nafka mina, what emerges from the Mishnah's ruling is the inafik beidina v'yosef chutz l'sholosh machanos. What happens if the court, for whatever reason, left the city confines and convened outside the three camps? Okay, so then what are you going to do? When are you going to... So let's see. Let's see the commentary here. Let's see the comment. And this means outside the city walls. Again, it says a court has to have 23. Three such courts, for example, were located on the temple precincts. Let's look, for example, Yerushalayim. The great Sanhedrin, with 71 judges, was situated in the Lishkas HaGozes. Lesser courts, the 23, were situated at the entrance to the Temple Mount and the entrance to the courtyard. Moreover, other courts of 23 sat in all Jewish cities. Rashi points out that when the Gemara speaks of a court leaving the three camps, it can be referring to any of these courts except the great Sanhedrin, obviously. The reason for this is that all courts in the land lose authority to judge capital cases when the highest court is not in the Lishkas HaGozes. So it's possible that the court, for whatever reason, was convening outside of the city. If that happened, for whatever reason, it doesn't tell us under what circumstances they do that, but if, let's say, the court of 23, for whatever reason, convenes outside the city, and now they decide they have to kill him. So now what? Where'd you go? In other words, the brisa says, you just take a guy outside the city, finished, you kill him there. It's nothing to do with the proximity of the court. But if the case where the court is outside the city already, now how far from the court do you do? Maybe you'd figure then, if the court's outside the city limits, you could kill the guy right next to the court. To that, the Mishnah's saying, no, it's got to be away from the court.
And
it has to be, well, maybe not out of sight, but quite a distance away. You'll see in a minute why we say all this. But it's going quite a distance. Okay, I guess a distance that, I guess if you're, let's say, looking here at the edge of the desert, let's say the court is right outside the city in the desert, okay? Now they'd have the guy, the execution place, probably very far away, but maybe it could still be in sight of the court. But it could be a mile away, let's say. And the horse rider is a half a mile in between, let's just say. Right? So therefore, what do? That's happening. So therefore, Avdinan Beis Haskila Chutzla Beis, then we situate the stoning place on grounds that are outside the courthouse a certain distance away. So it comes out like this. There's two requirements. The stoning place must be outside the courthouse grounds. A, must also be situated outside the city. B, thus, when the courthouse is itself outside the city, then the stoning place must still be situated some distance away from the courthouse. Oh, Rambam suggests execution grounds were to be located approximately 6 mil from the courthouse, which is what? 6 kilometers. 6 kilometers, about 4 miles. Okay, so there's your answer, according to Rambam, right? So now, why is it so that, here, well, now we come to the main point. Why is it so that the place of execution is such a distance away from the court? We don't want it to appear that the Bezdin is comprised of murderers, right? Listen, when you carry out an execution, remember, it's never a good thing. It's never a good sign for any Jewish court that they execute somebody. It's a terrible thing. There's other Gemaras. Remember, Rabbi Akiva said in Makkos, Bezdin executes once every 7 years. It's a murderer's court. Another opinion said every 70 years. It's not something to be proud about. Oh, we killed a lot of criminals. That means you haven't done a very good job of educating people about crime, right? So now, since there's a bunch of murderers, it's a brand shit over here. So therefore, if you're going to have the guy executed so close to the court, everybody says, the judges are a bunch of murderers. They're just looking to kill people, and they even kill people right next to the court.
So, I'd say that's part of the education. Let's see what happens.
Well, they're saying not, right? It's an indignity. It's not a good thing for the court, so we don't want to do it next to the court. That's number one. Or number two, second reason, inami ki hechi tisahav elei hatzala. An alternate, so that the condemned should have the possibility of rescue. How is that? Well, placing execution grounds at a distance from the court means the condemned man must travel some time to get there. This allows extra time for someone to approach the court with new evidence. So that's the point. If the executioner is right next to the court, guilty, 1 minute later he's stoned. Not a lot of time to reconsider. If it's 6 mil and they're walking, they're probably walking 6 mil, that'll take a couple hours. So there's at least a couple hours to reconsider. Okay, so those are the two reasons. It's got to be outside the court. It for sure has to be outside the city. We already know that from the Braisa. Outside the court for these two reasons. So now the Gemara just wants to know, what is the source for all this? The Braisa said, let's start with the Braisa. Well, the Braisa has to be outside of all three cities. So Menahani Mili, how do we know this? Detoner Rabbanan, for as it says in the Braisa, Hotzi es hamakalel el michutz lamachane. It says, take out the guy who cursed Hashem outside of the camp. Right? So now what does outside the camp mean? Chutz. Now, this Bryce is going to give you the two sides of the coin, as it were. It's going to give you the answer, but it's going to, you know, maybe you think otherwise. It says the Pasuk note to say it this way. That's the lingo here. So the symbol meaning is Chutz L'Gimel Machanos, outside of the three camps. Now the Bryce, speaks it out, so to speak. Ata Omer Chutz L'Gimel Machanos, do you say it really means outside the three camps? Maybe it only means chutz l'machanachas. Perhaps maybe only out of one camp. It just says michutz l'machaneh. Look at what the pasuk says again. It says michutz l'machaneh, outside of the camp.
Singular.
Well, camp can have many interpretations. It could mean outside the Israelite camp. It could be outside the Levite camp. It could mean outside of the machane shechina. It's not really specific. If you execute him in the Machane Leviah, it wouldn't be contradicted by the Pasuk, would it? So now the Braisa has to go on and show you from the context of the Pesukim how you're going to see that Pasuk means out of all three. So I'm backing it up. Ein el chutzim, maybe only one camp? Well, let's take a look. Ne'mar Khan, it says over here, what do? We take him michutz l'machane. He goes outside the camp. We're going to make a Xeira Shava now. Now we have another case where it uses a similar word. Beparim hanisrafim, where we burn the bulls. We'll tell you what that case is in a minute. It says chutz l'machane. You burn the bull outside of the machane. What are we talking about? This name given to certain bull offerings whose meat is neither consumed on the altar nor eaten. Rather, they are burnt outside the camp after the sacrificial service carried on the temple. We'll see what korban this is. A certain korban, you bring it in the base of Migdash. But then after you shecht it, you burn it outside the camp. What is that? That's called the par helem dovor shel tzibor. In other words, if the community all made a mistake in halacha, the bezin paskin's wrong, that they thought it was the ripe sock, everybody sinned, and then they found out, ayyavay, we made a big mistake. So what do you do on it? So it's called a par, a bull, helem was hidden, dovor, the matter. Okay, barabim, for the community. That animal, after you shecht it in the base of Mikdash, is burnt outside. And there's also another one, the par koin Mashiach. If the koin Godel makes an affair. So, okay, let's go through this. The chatas for communal error is brought when the great Sanhedrin errs an halachic ruling, permitting something that is actually forbidden under penalty of kares. Subsequently, the majority of Israel transgresses as a result of this ruling. In such a case, the Torah describes that the community as a whole, as embodied by the Sanhedrin, must bring a bull as a chatas. Each individual is exempted from bringing a personal chatas. The chatas of Kohen Gadol is brought when the Kohen Gadol is himself an eminent scholar, and he erroneously permits something which is in fact forbidden under penalty of kares. He then acts upon his own ruling, committing what amounts to an unintentional transgression. Those two types of chatas, even though they're shechted in the Beis HaMikdash, they're taken out to be burnt chutz lamachana. So you have two times it says chutz lamachana. Over here you take the, they took the guy to stone him chutz lamachana, and over here too. Now, these words appear twice, once in reference to each of the two offerings described above. Okay, look what it says. It says by the Kohen's bull, it says, I got it up over here, sneer. Yeah. It says, Vahotzi is kol apor el michutz lamachaneh, el shefach adasin, v'soref osel eitzim ala eish. So it says outside the camp. Second occurrence is a communal error. Says the same thing. You burn it outside the camp. Okay, so we've got three psukim now. The one by the guy who cursed, it says they took him out the camp and killed him. We got by the communal mistake, it says take it out and you burn it there. And by the Kohen Gadol's mistake, take it out of the camp and you burn it there. So therefore, what do we got? So malahalan, so just like over there in regard to the bull offerings, outside the camp means chutz shalosh machanos, outside of all three camps. Now we have to prove that later. How do you know that the outside the camps means? The Gemara now just assumes that's what it means, and we'll just go with that for now. Gemara's going to prove it in a minute.
Well, because it's communal.
Well, still, it's still, you have to have a proof. It just says mechutz lamachaneh. Really, you're proving something without. It's the same problem. Each one just says mechutz lamachaneh. We'll have to wait. It's going to tell us.
The premise of doing the ball is.
Yeah, that's yeah, but still, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to take it outside the camp. You don't have to take it necessarily outside the camp. Not necessarily. What about a Kohen Gadol? It just says Michutz Lamachna. But right now they're assuming, they're going to show you in a minute how they can prove it there too. But right now they're saying, just like over there, it's outside of three camps. Afkan, here too. Chutz Shalosh Machanos. So therefore, so if over there, when it says Chutz Lamachna, it's outside of three camps, it means the same thing over here. So now is going to ask, well, what about, how do we really know over there? That's Gemara's question. But how do we know over there? With the bull offerings outside the camp. Maybe it only means out of one camp too. So now we have to have another brisa that specifically focuses on the bulls and proves from the psukim over there that it has to be outside the three camps. Once we know that as a certainty, then we make the Xavier Shova here as well. And we say, just like over there, same thing over here. And what does it say over there by the bulls? The Tana Rabbanan, it says like this. The Pasuk says, V'hotzi es kol hapor el michutz lamachaneh. Okay, this is talking about where the Kohen Gadol, okay? You take the entire bull outside the camps. So again, the Bryce isn't sure what that means. Does it mean chutz l'shosh machados? Does it mean outside the three camps? Ata Omer, you're saying that? Chutz l'shosh machados? Oh, eino, ella, maybe only chutz machados, maybe only one. But now we come to the proof. Kisho Omer, when it says el michutz machana bepar ha'eda, it already says when the community makes a mistake, it already says goes outside the camp. Now, these are relatively similar averos. It's a, you didn't know the halacha, it was based on an incorrect ruling. One was the Sanhedrin made an incorrect ruling for the Jewish people, and one is the Kohen Gadol made an incorrect ruling for himself. That's what it works. It doesn't mean just a sin, it's an incorrect ruling. So they're very similar. So you'd imagine once you'd say it once by one, it would apply to the other. So it says already by the communal one, you go outside of the camp, right? So when we now repeat it a second time, okay? Because you omer el michutz lamachaneh bepar ha'eda. So now she'ein talmud lomer. There's no need to write it a second time by the kohen that it goes outside michutz lamachaneh. Why? She'kvar nemar. It already says. The Saraf also, you burn it, it says by the coin, you burn it, kasher Saraf es aparishom, just like the first one. That's what the Torah says. You burn the Kohen's one, you burn it just like the first one. See, the first one's outside the camp. Why do you got to say by the second one's outside the camp? It says you burn it the same way. So obviously he's coming to teach us one more camp. In other words, there's an extra camp written by the Kohen Gadol. You got it? It says by when the community does it, you take it outside, you burn it, blah, 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 blah. By a Kohen Mashiach, it says, you take it outside the camp, that's going to be extra, and you burn it just like you burnt the communal one. Well, if you said that already, then obviously I know you take it outside the camp because you're burning it just like the first one's burned outside. So that's extra. An extra camp means we move out one more camp. Right? You know, right? Move out one more camp. Litain lo machana shnia. Okay, now it's a second camp. It's got to be at least outside of two camps. But we want out of three camps, so we need one more extra part. Ukisho Omar, when it says El Michutz Lamachana Badeshen, it says another time, it says to the outside of the camp with reverence to the removal of the ashes. The Pasuk says that from time to time a Kohen should transport ashes which accumulate on top of the altar. It's a fourth case. We have halacha that whenever there's too many ashes in the Mizbeach, we take it Michutz Lamachana. You take the ashes and you bury them somewhere outside. So that once it says Michutz Lamachana Badeshen by ashes, Shein Talmud Lomer can't, there's no need really to say that. Why? Shrei Kvar Nemar Al Shefach HaDeshin Surf. It already says earlier regarding the Kohen Gadol's bowl, on the place where the ashes poured, it shall be burnt. Okay, in other words, we could have inferred that the ashes poured outside the camp from the fact that Scripture tells that the bull offerings are burnt in that very same place. There's already a place by the Kohen, it already says there's a place outside. By the Kohen Gadol's carbon, when you take the ashes and you put it with a place that's already outside, so already know there's a place outside. So why does it say when you remove the ashes, you take it to a place outside? So that's extra. Litein lo machana shlishis. That gives us the third camp. So we have, in other words, two extra outside the camps, or we burn it outside. So that adds three camps. So now we know by the Kohen Gadol and all that stuff, it's three camps. It's michutz lamachana. So now whenever it says chutz lamachana, it means all three camps the same thing. Good place to stop.